No doubt, you've heard some of the completely unexplainable stories about the moon. There are the strange structures that made front page news of major news publications, but were then dismissed from all media and even photoshopped out of photos. There are the strange lunar wave videos of recent years, which seem to show the moon's image actually jumping as though it were a projected hologram. And you only need to search YouTube to see hundreds of entirely credible videos of strange lights, flurries, and unidentified flying aircraft departing and landing on the surface of the moon. Yet, the U.S. supposedly quit landing on the moon almost 50 years ago in 1973. Was our every scientific question answered? Why are all these credible testimonies ignored or dismissed? Could there be more to that ball in the sky than meets the eye? If you research the moon, you might be surprised. It's referenced in ancient history, its perfect geometrical symmetry, and even astronaut testimonies all seem to point to only one logical conclusion: that our moon is most likely a hollowed-out structure and an artificial satellite that was intentionally placed into Earth's orbit only a few hundred thousand years ago, and that the advanced engineers accomplished this intending not only to influence the Earth's biology, but to oversee and control her inhabitants. The moon seems as natural as the landscape around us. But when you look at all the freakish facts, you'd see what one NASA researcher, Robin Brett, saw. He said, "It seems easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it does to explain its existence." So then, why is that? For starters, no one can explain why the moon is older than the Earth, and older by millions of years. None of the collision with Earth theories make even a shred of sense. Secondly, if the moon were proportional to the planet it orbits, as other natural satellites are, it would only be 30 miles across. Instead, it's not double, not triple, but over 72 times larger, at 2,160 miles across. No other known natural satellites are a quarter of the size of the planet that they orbit. Then there are the craters. The varying diameters of the craters reveal impacts of varying size and force. They should have created a variety of depth, but instead, the craters all have the same depth. And when astronauts attempted to drill into the craters, they were barely able to penetrate the surface. They also discovered processed metals like brass, mica, and pure titanium, which are not naturally occurring elements. They are created and used for architectural design. Where it really gets strange, though, is when you examine the mathematical and geometrical relationship between the Sun, Moon, and Earth, which are so freakishly precise they defy all odds of randomness, with nothing like it in any other known planetary system. For example, the Sun is exactly 400 times bigger than the Moon, and it's almost 400 times the distance away. But that's just the beginning. There are the coincidences around the numbers 366. For the numbers 1092, and then the numbers 273. If you calculate the likelihood of this kind of precision in a random creation, the number would be so small it wouldn't fit on the screen. One of the strangest things about the moon is something that we don't even give a second thought, something called tidal lock. Frankly, the scientific definition makes it sound very natural. Tidal lock is simply that the moon's rotation exactly matches its orbit. In short, this means against all natural laws, the same side of the moon always faces the planet, and we're prevented from ever seeing the back half of our moon, also known as the dark side of the moon. Explore the universe. With very few exceptions, everything spins, including Earth, whose rotation should be throwing the moon into a furious counterspin. Instead, somehow, our moon is literally like an all-watching eye that never ceases surveillance of the planet to which it's bound. Another fact, every astronomer knows it's a 1 in a trillion chance that a planet's moon would appear exactly the same size as its sun during an eclipse. And, by the way, if you view a full eclipse from space, you'll see this. Look familiar? Then, there's the fact that natural satellites circle their planets around the equator. So why does our moon circle Earth at a tendency of 5 degrees? The exact distance, elevation, elliptical course, and speed that enabled it to transform life on Earth by creating tidal flow and seasons. All the benefit to life here, for sure. So, older, bigger, and lighter in mass than it should be, according to the laws of physics, our moon shouldn't even be here. We know that without the moon, the Earth's orbital revolution would change. It's said that we'd have an unsteady gravitational pull, which would make the planet wobble. So if it's not a complete anomaly of random luck, how did the moon get here? Could it have been put there? To find out, we need to know the truth about our history. And not surprisingly, the ancients may have given us the answer. While you probably didn't get much education about this, a multitude of cultures the world over refer to what is called the time before the moon. The list of those who have written about this begins with many well-known ancient Greek writers and philosophers, including Aristotle and Plutarch. There's even reference to the time when there was no moon before the cataclysm. And certain inhabitants were known as Procellenes, which means those that were before the moon. But this expression was used elsewhere. The Colombian legends say, in the earliest times when the moon was not yet in the heavens. In Africa, the Zulu tribe tells the legend that the moon is an egg with its yolk removed, brought here from far away by non-terrestrial dragons who placed it into orbit. Their legend says the earth turned over when it was brought here, causing cataclysms and a great flood, nearly wiping out humanity. Could this legend coincide with our current understanding of history, when humanity's population bottlenecked, reducing all races to a single ancestor that geneticists call mitochondrial Eve, somewhere between 150 to 200,000 years ago? Could ancient Earth have experienced these cataclysms as a result of the arrival of this unnatural satellite? Would this explain why so many cultures, without any connection to each other, share the same story about our cosmic neighbor? The idea the moon was brought here seems like a stretch. We simply cannot fathom how. But let's imagine for a moment that the inconceivable is true, and that our seemingly natural moon was, in fact, brought here by a race with methods we've yet to comprehend. Why? Was it merely to create tides and seasons? Might it have anything to do with the humanoid race that was existing here? Could the answers be found in the other ancient historical writings of Earth history? Like the Sumerian tablets, which indicate the arrival of an extraterrestrial race who genetically manipulated humans to serve as their slaves here on Earth. So there's something strange about the mass of the moon. Understanding that it's 25% or 1/4 of the Earth's nearly 8,000-mile diameter, how is it possible that the mass of the moon is so much less than Earth. Only 1.2% of Earth, when it should be the same ratio as the volume. In 1970, after years of research, two Russian scientists, Vazin and Sherbakov, published an article in Sputnik magazine titled, "Is the Moon Creation by Alien Intelligence?" Translated, it theorized that the moon is an artificial Earth satellite put into orbit around the Earth by some intelligent beings unknown to ourselves. Based on the sheer logic of its perfect size and orientation, they believed the moon was placed in the Earth's orbit ages ago. And they're not alone. In 2006, after decades of research, two Brits, Knight and Butler, also published their research in a book titled, "Who Built the Moon?" They pointed out that the absolute perfectly proportional geometry and the sequencing of integers for every aspect of the moon was duplicated by no other body in the solar system. They also discussed the huge but ultra-light mass. In the end, they created a very persuasive conclusion, stating, "If higher life only developed on Earth because the moon is exactly what it is and where it is, it becomes irrational to cling to the idea it's a natural object." They say the more likely possibility is the moon was brought here into our orbit and is most likely a hollowed-out planetoid. In November of 1969, the Apollo 12 crew sent their lunar module crashing down onto the moon, creating an artificial earthquake about 40 miles from their seismic devices. The ultra-sensitive equipment recorded the crash and found that the moon rang like a bell for almost 40 minutes, taking almost 8 minutes to reach its peak. It was so stunning that NASA decided to try it with an even heavier rocket in their next mission. So Apollo 13's module struck with the equivalent of 11 tons of TNT, even though the seismic equipment was over 100 miles from the crash site. According to NASA, this time the moon rang like a gong, again reverberating for 3 full hours within the 2-kilometer radius of the landing. The outcome of these experiments are so unpredictable and shocking, most people simply refuse to entertain what they imply. When you consider the perfect geometry and placement of the moon, the shallow craters, the unique man-made elements, the locked orbit, the hollow reverberation, it becomes pretty obvious that there's a lot more to this story and the moon itself beneath the surface. On November 23rd of 1966, images taken by a manned moon orbiter showed no less than 6 tall structures on the moon. These images were published in the Washington Post and the LA Times, with at least one Boeing scientist claiming they were far too geometric to be natural. Upon study, Soviet space engineer Alexander Abramov noted that the center of the spires are arranged precisely the same way as the apices of the 3 great pyramids in Egypt. And they cast 4 perfect 90-degree angle shadows into an eroded pit area. At NASA, Dr. Farouk Elbaz, also claiming they could not be natural, revealed they were taller than any building on Earth. NASA, on the other hand, declined to investigate, saying it was a trick of light and shadow. Consequently, the subject was dropped from the media. But years later, several shots from Apollo 17 showed these same clear, right-angled structures. You may have noticed, photographs of the moon are so unclear, they look like they're from 1912 and are perfectly deceptive with regard to detail. In fact, sometimes it seems that photos of the distant planet Mars are clearer than those of the moon. at least until 1994. Photographer Jose Escamilla colorized photos taken from a moon orbiter 100 miles away. The effect revealed these structural anomalies, not otherwise visible, in black and white. So, if structures do exist on the moon, who built them? And where are they now? Prior to the first moon landing, Apollo 10 flew around the back of the moon, and their transcripts reveal that they all heard what they called eerie outer space music, like nothing they'd ever heard before. Sounds which have since been compared to the electromagnetic radio-like sounds recorded by Cassini from inside Saturn's rings. NASA dismissed the noise as radio waves interacting with the magnetic field of the moon. But the moon doesn't have a magnetic field like planets do. So, to the question, what created this noise? We have a new question. Why lie about it? The first Apollo landing on the moon is one of the most triumphant events of late human history. But after the structures were revealed, NASA had to have prepared the astronauts to potentially meet something or someone. During that trip, there were 2 minutes of video and radio silence when the cameras and recording equipment were said to have simultaneously failed. Of course, this equipment was the most highly advanced at the time and produced reliable recordings without a stitch for the rest of the mission. Years later, close friends and relatives revealed what both Armstrong and Aldrin said had actually happened during those minutes. On leaving the module, Armstrong deliberately switched his communication to the medic line and said, "There are other spacecraft here, sir, lined up on the other side of the crater. Those babies are huge, enormous. They're watching us." Without full disclosure of classified information, no one will ever know the real reason why the astronauts returned to Earth with such strange dispositions, without any indication in their cold expressions of the excitement that one would expect from the first men ever to touch the surface of the moon. It became even more obvious that something was off when they were each interviewed separately. You can easily detect, even without being a body language expert, that something just isn't right.
It's a beginning of a new age.
Perhaps the most curious point of all is the cryptic speech that Armstrong gave 25 years after the landing.
"There are great ideas undiscovered, breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of truth's protective layers. There are places to go beyond belief."
Truth's protective layers? What or who is protecting us from the truth? So if the moon is not solid mass, but a hollow artificial satellite, and there are structures there, certainly there must be evidence of extraterrestrial life somewhere. Of course, only astronauts would know for sure. And not surprisingly, you'll find that early on, they were talking, but have become less inclined to reveal their knowledge as the years have passed. Here are a few among many who've revealed what they know. Scott Carpenter of the orbiter Mercury Atlas 7 said, "At no time when the astronauts were in space were they alone. There was a constant surveillance by UFOs." Buzz Aldrin, years after his legendary landing, for some reason became reclusive and said, "There's a monolith on the moon of Mars. When people find out about that, they'll say, who put that there?" The first Japanese-American in space, Colonel Lieutenant Onizuka, went so far as to admit he witnessed small, strange-looking creatures, humanoid in shape. They did not look of earthly origin. And then, the sixth astronaut to walk on the moon, Edgar Mitchell, admitted, "Yes, there has been ET visitation and may continue to be. There's a lot of evidence that points to a clandestine group." What is the relationship of ET life to this clandestine group Mitchell named? What are they withholding from the rest of us? In the 1950s, the physicist Enrico Fermi pointed out the strange contradiction about alien life. He said that given the vastness of the universe, there should be a high probability that other intelligent civilizations exist. But, he added, there is a total lack of evidence anywhere on Earth or in space. Considering all that's been shared, however, is his statement really true? Is there really no evidence, or just no evidence that you can safely discuss publicly? In fact, given all the evidence we've listed, can you step back far enough to see the forest through the trees? What is more threatening? Testimonies of people who've experienced unexplainable phenomena by today's common knowledge? Or might the real threat be that if you dare to share your story, you could risk being ostracized from everything and everyone you know and love? Carl Sagan said something very wise about human nature. He recognized when new information challenges our beliefs, it threatens our sense of self and triggers our primal reptilian brain. Sagan long warned humanity about this, saying, "When our illusions about ourselves are challenged, some of us may tend to fly into murderous rages." So let's consider what the real threat is. The new information, or our own response to it. We want to believe that if there was any validity to this artificial moon concept, certainly the scientific community would be exploring it, right? Of course, information as important as extraterrestrial life would never be withheld from public knowledge. Or would it? According to NASA's Brookings Report, a 1960s discussion of space exploration, public disclosure of ET life would, quote, "cause the collapse of society and must therefore remain clandestine." And there's that word again, clandestine. Astronaut Edgar Mitchell's description for the hoarders of truth. The evidence is all around you. Dare to explore. Dare to discuss. For until the day disclosure begins, it's safe to say Neil Armstrong's statement may have been slightly off. Rather than one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, it might have been one small step for man, one giant deception for mankind.